Hello, my Facebook family. Thank you for joining us this week. Facebook family, everybody knows what this month is. This is a month of awareness. This is a month of giving back. This is a month of saving lives. This is a month of healing. And this is October, which is National Breast Cancer Awareness and Prevention Month. And we have got such a unique family in, a remarkable family with a very unique story today. And I'd like to introduce my special guest, Mika Diamond. Everybody knows Mika Diamond. And Mika is going to introduce her mom and her sister, and they've got a very unique story, and we can't wait to hear it.
Well, first, thank you so much for allowing us to share our story.
Thank you, Mika.
I would love to introduce, first, I'm going to introduce the matriarch of our family. I'm going to introduce my mother, who is Pernella Faye Morris.
Hey, Miss Faye.
And then also my sister, Donata Claiborne.
Hello.
And, of course, we've got our regular co-hostess. She's in there and she's going to be jumping in because Rebecca, we can always depend on her for a very unique perspective. Introduce yourself, Miss Rebecca.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rebecca Williams.
And Rebecca is our co-host. She's here every week. And we wanted to get Mika and her family in this week because we did not want this month to pass without letting her share. She and her family share her very unique perspective on this particular topic. And Mika, I want you to kind of start out with telling us a little bit about you and your family. Are you guys from the Houston area?
Well, yes, we gonna say we from the Houston area. We are from the Houston
area. And I'm saying that she's a proud, go on and say it.
I'm a proud A-Leaf alumni. And so is my sister.
Is.
So we both graduated from the ELSIC High school.
Yes. Yes. And the thing about the A-Leaf, hey, let me tell you about the A-Leaf residents. They rep A-Leaf like it's a country.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
They are A-Leaf proud. And that's a fantastic thing. Because, you know, there are some communities that don't do that and cities that don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. But we really love where we grew up.
Yes.
It's very family oriented. So,
yes.
You may have been across the street from somebody that went to our rivalry school, but we still were family oriented and still continue to be family oriented from A-Leaf.
And one thing I've noticed about the people from A-Leaf, a lot of people grow up, they get jobs, they have families, but they stay right there.
Yeah.
In the A-Leaf
area. Right. They do. Because it's family oriented. You grow up with the same people, you know, your kids go to the A-Leaf schools. You graduated from the A-Leaf schools. We support the businesses that are in A-Leaf. So we definitely, even if you do move out of the A-Leaf community, you still represent as an A-Leafian, I should say.
Absolutely. Mika is a proud A-Leafian.
Yes, I am.
So Mika, tell me, are you from a large or small family? I know Miss Donata and Miss Faye. Is it a whole bunch of more Team Morrises?
So there's a lot of, yes, I will say it's a bunch of Team Morrises. Would you agree with that? Yeah. It's a lot of, the majority of our Morris family lives in Louisiana, but we are very, it's a lot of us. So yes, it's an extension of us that are in Louisiana.
But that's good. And it reaches all the way down to A-Leaf, Texas.
Yes, it does.
A-Leaf, Texas.
It does.
Now, Mika, I want to touch a little bit about, you, mm-hmm. before we kind of jump into the topic, because mm-hmm. you have in a very interesting way, you were kind of catapulted mm-hmm. into being an advocate.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't start out saying as a little girl, I want to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do when I grow mm-hmm. up. But you kind of were thrust into this kind of position. Mm-hmm. What did your family teach you about community and being a catalyst for change?
You know what? It's unique because I can remember when I was in elementary school, and I don't know if my mom remembers, but she told me later on in life that this was something that she did. So I started not going to recess by going to the kids in the schools that were had some disabilities. Yes. And I would push them around in their wheelchairs wow. during recess. Also play some games with them. So I think it's just our heart. I don't yes. think we actually, it was something that we were taught. I think it was just something we was brought up doing by it being having a servant heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it kind of came naturally to you.
Yeah, it came naturally
to me. Because I'm gonna tell you, I work with kids every day. Mm-hmm. They're not in elementary school, but they're in middle school. Mm-hmm. And let's just tell it like it is. By the time they get to middle school, a lot of times kids can be kind of selfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're really kind of at that age where it's about me. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see a young person with a serving heart like mm-hmm. that, it's very unique, and it's not very you don't see it very
common.
Often.
Yeah. Right.
Now, one thing that you ladies are really standing front and center mm-hmm. on is the fight against and the prevention of mm-hmm. breast cancer.
Yes.
Let me ask you all this question, and you all can answer it individually, because we want to kind of see how you all ended up picking up this torch.
Okay.
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 So have all of you ladies always been super vigilant about the importance of breast care and self-exams or mammograms? Was that something in your family that you all did from the time that you were teens or young people?
So I'm going to tell you that I was not okay. very vigilant.
Okay.
And I did not have my annual mammograms like I should have. Mm-hmm. I wish I did, right. but no, we were not vigilant in the beginning.
Okay.
I am now.
Okay.
But not in the beginning.
How about you, Miss Faye?
Yes. I'm yes. very vigilant.
Yes.
I preach yes. mammograms.
Yes.
Every
That's
year.
That's like my mother. My mother, yes.
Every year.
Yes. Yes.
But it's an individual decision. You know, all right. I can do is just try to encourage.
Exactly.
But it's up to the individual to go and get it done.
That's right. And the thing about it is, a lot of times in our families, mm-hmm. you still hear people say, you know what, if that's the case, I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a situation where being on top of something and catching something early could actually mm-hmm. be what cures you, mm-hmm. who wouldn't want to know?
Right.
But you have some people that just don't mm-hmm. want to yeah. know.
Right.
Is that, do you all run into that sometimes mm-hmm. as you're out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I run into, and I'll be honest, I wasn't as vigilant, you know. Okay. Me and my sister was, I really took on the attitude, and I know this is hard, this is not what you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. but I took on what many shared in the beginning, that it had to be hereditary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even yeah. though I was an advocate for, I was being supportive of other organizations. I'm right. at the events. I'm right. listening to the doctors. I'm listening to the surgeons.
Yeah.
I kind of blocked off out of my mind that mm-hmm. it could hit close to home.
That's right.
Until it actually uh-huh. hit close to home.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So then when it hit close to home for me, I started remember, me and my sister started remember, okay, we got to go get a mammogram.
Yes.
Did you get your mammogram? Okay, I got to go get my mammogram. And yes. then that's when we were more on, okay, we need to be more, and so that's what this is about, advocating mm-hmm. for others not to get to that space of yes. it's just hereditary,
right.
To because my mother is a witness, as well as my sister, that yes. it is in the early stages to yes. where if we would have waited, we don't know what could have happened. So
we all know now, and we didn't necessarily know this even 10 years ago, but mm-hmm. there can be a genetic component.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it does run in some families,
right.
that genetic component. And there are some things people can do mm-hmm. to kind of stay ahead of that. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in mm-hmm. a little bit. When there is a genetic component, some different types of choices people can make mm-hmm. to kind of stay ahead of that. But Miss Faye, you were the first in the family who was diagnosed.
Yes.
So kind of walk us through that process of, did you notice something when you were doing self-exams, or did you find out through your mammograms?
No, I found out through my mammogram. I okay. have, I got to get the letters right, DCIS
okay.
is the type of cancer that I have.
Okay.
It stayed in the duct.
Okay.
And the difference is, it's not detected by self-examinations.
Wow.
It's not a lump. You don't feel anything.
Right.
It has to be detected through
Through a mammogram.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's why I push so hard for people to go and get your mammograms, because breast cancer, it comes in so many different facets.
Right.
So you don't think that if you don't feel it, there's nothing there. Mine, it was never a lump because it stayed in the duct.
Right. So you didn't notice any changes in your skin?
No.
Or itching or anything in texture?
Nothing changed on my body at all.
So thank God that you were getting your mammograms because you still would not know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If I hadn't gotten my mammogram, I would never know that I had cancer. Mm-hmm. Because you can't detect it from sight.
And that's the thing that is the stumbling block that people run into when people find out too late, because they don't notice anything different until they go to the doctor, and something may, when it starts coming up in your blood work, then it's pretty advanced. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. Nada? What was, how did you find yours?
So because my mother was diagnosed.
Right.
She was on me and my sister about it.
Yes.
And so I went and they found something. And so what I have is invasive lobular carcinoma.
Okay.
Which means that it was not in the ducts. It came out of the ducts.
Okay. And what's that? How do they stage
that? So I'm stage one.
Okay.
I was stage zero.
And tell me,
because
I've never
heard stayed inside. I didn't even know it was a zero.
Okay.
But because it didn't come outside of the duct,
okay,
it was zero.
So when it's stage zero, that means that if you can say that's the best place to have it, where they can arrest it.
Right.
Okay.
It did not spread. It did not go to the lymph nodes. It was just, I did have a mastectomy.
Right.
But it didn't go anywhere else.
Right.
So.
Okay. And what about you, Ms. Faye?
So I'm Denali. It's Denali. So I haven't had the surgery yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to have a lumpendectomy.
A lumpectomy.
Lumpectomy. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Where I'm not getting a mastectomy. They're just going to take the disease out of my breast and save my breast.
Okay. And with that stage, with the stage, you said one?
Mm-hmm.
With stage one, do they recommend at that point any chemo or any radiation or anything like that?
Right now, no chemo.
Okay.
No radiation until I have the surgery.
Okay.
Until they take the lymph nodes out.
Exactly.
And then they'll be able to let me know. Okay. But right now, no chemo.
Okay.
So it's better to go and get the mammogram so you can catch it, so you don't have to go through that if you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. So Mika.
Yes.
How about you?
Yes, ma'am. So I did have, I had a mammogram and everything was fine. Of course, one thing that they did share was with our culture, with African-American women, we have dense breasts.
Yes.
And so, a lot of the times they want us to get that additional test in the biopsies and different things like that in order to make sure those little things that they see inside.
I have to get that every year.
Okay.
For years, I've had to have that.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, I'm fine. I am fine. There are some other medical things that are happening.
Yes.
So we are all on this medical health journey together.
And the thing about it is this. It's just a matter of time, because all of us are going to have it. I had a medical health journey that I was on maybe about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yes. So I do absolutely understand. Now, Miss Rebecca, have you been vigilant about your mammograms every year, Missy?
No, because I was told that I was not of age yet to get a mammogram.
Now,
wait a minute. I was told that I didn't have to worry about it because I'm not of the age yet. I was concerned about it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what age do I start getting mammograms? And the lady at the time, well, the nurse, the doctor at the time, she was a doctor. The doctor at the time was like, oh, well, you're still pretty young. You're fine. Like, that's not something you got to worry about right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is the truth to that, Mika, for African-American women?
So for African-American women, I have met someone at the age of 21 that have had breast cancer, and she had a lumpectomy. It used to be what was said was hereditary, at the age of 40, it has something to do with a family member. But now with recent studies, and the thing about it is what I've learned being on the journey of different organizations and listening to different surgeons, et cetera, that they are still studying. So in the event that they are still studying, they are finding out more. Monies have been put in more for research to find out what could be the cause, and then medicines that can be able to assist with that.
Yes.
And another thing is the myth that the only way you can probably get it is has to be hereditary. It's not true.
No.
Because I myself and my daughter have done the genetic testing.
Right.
And they told me, no, you don't, it's not genetic. Wow. The reason they didn't made me or asked me to do it was because Donata got it.
Okay.
Right after me.
Right.
She was diagnosed.
Exactly.
And so they said, we just got it by happenstance. It's not. So that these, all of these are clues to encourage people to please.
Yes.
You know, go and get the mammogram. Yes. Just go get.
Yeah.
You want to know.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't. It's not extremely, extremely painful. Like they said, it may used to be. You
it's
know,
nothing like it's, it used to
no.
be.
Well, like I said, I inquired about it myself just because. And the gynecologist was like, oh, no, you got a while before you have to worry about trying to get a mammogram. You still pretty young.
I would share with you, Rebecca, that we are our own advocates for health. And if somebody shared with you, and I'm just saying this publicly, if somebody shared with you not to have something in order to make sure, then I would seek a second opinion because, like I said, we have now the more studies that they do, the more things that we're finding out that's realistic, that's actually happening in real time. So I encourage, I was one of them. Yes. If it wasn't hereditary, so I didn't feel like I needed to rush. Yeah. I'm doing all of these different events. I'm hearing all these different stories. But until it hit close to home, I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and do something different.
And the thing about it is, Mika, you don't have to be, this is something that can strike at any age.
Right.
Miss Donata has gone all her life being vigilant about,
it's okay. We mom and daughters.
You know what? The next time I'm going to put on some neck pads and I'm going to say, Miss Faye has been, unlike a lot of us, has been vigilant about making sure she got hers, and she got hers at this point in life. And I know that a lot of people have said this, well, if I made it to this point, then I'm going to be okay. Or if I made it to this point. But this is something, my mother even goes to get her mammograms every year, and my mother is, she's going to be mad at me for telling this, but my mother is 88.
Wow.
But when she goes for her well woman, she makes sure she gets a mammogram because
My mom does too. My mom does too, and she's 78.
And the truth of the matter is, in their 70s they go and get mammograms.
Yeah.
My mom does too.
Not even, I think I was there for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
So it's nothing like it used to be.
Right.
It's very advanced now.
And I saw younger women than myself going in there. I saw ladies in their 30s in there.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in, I saw some ladies older than me, but there were definitely a couple of ladies younger than me who were in there. So like Mika said, Rebecca, you know, being able to advocate for yourself, and I'll put it like this, we'll go spend $150, $200 or whatever to get our hair done and this kind of thing. And there are some services in Houston that offer low cost mammograms where if it's not covered, it is covered by most people's insurance, but if it's not covered, you can go in and they will do your mammogram on a sliding scale.
The roles for any two people that have insurance covers and one uninsured.
Yes. For me, it wasn't, I inquired about it. I was at the doctor and I inquired about it.
Yes.
And that's when the gynecologist was like, oh, Miss William or Rebecca, you are like young. You don't have to worry about that right now. You know, if you was 49, 50, then I could see that, but you're not. Like, it's just, you know, that's just more money you're going to be spending when you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know. They was like, oh, yeah, you, no, no, ma'am. Like, you have a while before that happens, before you don't
get tested. We have had a couple of seniors that in their 70s or 80s at my church who had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. They got tested in the last, you know, few years. They were positive. So you just, yeah. I mean, it's almost like something you got to do until you leave here.
Yes. And the thing about it is, let me say this. Now, I have some cousins and it ran in my cousin's family on her mother's side. Mm-hmm. Her mother passed away of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. She had two or three cousins that passed away of breast cancer. She elected to do a bilateral double mastectomy as a prevent and reconstruction as a preventative measure because she said, you know what? It's hitting too close to home. I've had my kids. I'm not going to be breastfeeding anymore. Mm-hmm. And with the way that reconstruction is these days, that reconstruction, I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And it can look better than the real thing sometimes. I'm just going to be honest. I've seen it look better than the real thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because the real thing, a lot of times the shape came is not great.
It changes up. Right.
Yes, but you know, the reconstruction, and they reconstruct the nipple and everything, everything, and you just cannot tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And you know you can sleep at night knowing that that's not going to be your fate.
Yeah.
Something else.
And I mean, now when I do go back to the doctor, I'm going to insist that they do it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I did ask about it. I was like, well, what about me going to mammogram? And they was, you know, like I've been saying, they were like, no, ma'am, not yet. Not yet.
Definitely.
Now, Mika, I've noticed that you have a great passion for the area where you grew up, of course, and you're always advocating for education and equality for Alief area residents. Mm-hmm. You were almost by accident catapulted into advocacy for a cause that you had no idea would hit so closely to home. Mm-hmm. Was the process of, was this a difficult process to work through and to step out and start? Or like the person I know you are, you just jumped into it with no feet. You didn't even sleep on it.
No, I didn't. And you know what? Actually, I found out in this journey, I realized that me being an advocate before, I'm doing the same thing that I was doing before.
Yes.
Now it just hits more in a personal space.
Yes.
But everything that I learned, every organization that I've been a part of, I definitely want to make sure that I send a salute to Reconstruction of a Survivor who has held me close and educated me by being around those who are surgeons, who are doctors, who are nurses, those who I've met that are younger than their 30s that have. So it was almost like I was prepared, like God was really preparing me for this space, not knowing that I would need it. but everybody that I've come in contact with that I've assisted, the seeds that I have sown, they have sown those into the harvest that I reaped have been in my mother and my mother and my sister. So if you ask me, is it anything different? No, I still wear the same tutu I wore before, the same socks. I may got some extra stuff that but now I'm sharing what I have with my family. And so it hits more of a personal space. I'll be honest. I had, you know, jumping into it. I had some, me and the Lord had some time with each other, you know, but after I thought about the gifts that I have been given of being in this space, it could be a whole lot worse mentally than it has been for me. So no.
Because it was a lot of things that we wouldn't have known half of the things that we know now.
No.
If Jamaica.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Had been,
Connected. That's right.
Yeah. We reaped the harvest of her connection.
Yes. Right.
And isn't it something?
We really reaped the harvest of her connection.
Yes. And isn't it something how you sometimes don't know in these spaces what God has prepared you for down the road?
Yeah. I did know. And then it was like a wake up call for me to, you have no idea how we have been led by those relationships. Thank you to LaQuentin Jenkins, who is the founder of Simple Choice Insurance. He allowed my sister was able to change her insurance so that she can get better health care.
That's right.
for this journey.
That's right.
Dr. Bennett, the surgeon that I introduced in February at a Pamper with a Twist event, was my mother's surgeon for her surgery, for her mastectomy. And so when you look at the pieces that the Lord put together,
that's right.
I know without a shadow of a doubt that he was preparing me and my family for a time such as this.
Yes. That's absolutely right.
Yes.
And sometimes when I'm talking, Donata and I are talking, and we'll talk about that, like I say, we wouldn't have known what to do, who to contact, this doctor, that was what, but God,
that's right.
God, he connect. He's connecting all of the pieces of the puzzle.
Yes.
Every time we take one more step, we just order my steps, Lord, order my steps. And he's just putting the pieces in place.
Mm-hmm.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. And, you know, it's so important. I could have easily, you know, when Mika and I connected earlier this month, I've known Mika for some years now, but when we connected earlier this month, she said to me, you know, I have a unique situation in my family and people need to see this because someone else is experiencing this exact thing and they feel like it is a heavy burden upon their shoulders, but I want them to see how my family is walking through this. And people need to see you all like you are I don't want to say taking it in stride, but you said, okay, this is the case. I'm going to do what I need to do. And in going forward in my journey, I am going to make sure that others know that they need to be proactive and they can control some things in their journey. They can control it. And control comes with acknowledging first, like you said, and taking the first steps.
You got to get the moving. You can't just sit.
I think we took it as a family, and y'all elaborate on. I think we said, you know what? We literally took it as, okay, we got six boxing gloves on.
Yes.
Like, we going in the ring and we going to win the fight. Yeah. And we have had that mentality. Never in a million years would I have thought, once we got over my mother's hump, who's now cancer free, that we would begin another journey, fight again. But I said, okay, we got to get in the ring, keep the gloves on, and let's keep it going, right? And so the same principles that we did with my mom, we've even done more with my sister. Like, we have a prayer call at 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30, maybe 8:15, but we get the prayer call in every day.
Every night.
That's right.
Whenever my sister is down, because they have moments. They have moments. And I had to think about, okay, you can't sob in it. Can't sit on the sideline and watch the fight.
Yes.
You have to dig in the trenches, and you literally have to fight emotions.
Yes.
You have to fight the way that you feel internally.
Yes.
I have to be strong and allow the Holy Spirit to really strengthen me, to strengthen my sister and my mom.
Right.
And some people asked, my sister called me last week and said, you know, I'm worried about your mind. How do you feel?
Yeah.
What are you?
Yeah.
And I really feel good. Like, I really mentally, I know without a shadow of a doubt. I just put on social media the other day that, you know, I keep hearing the song from Whitney Houston. I didn't know my own strength.
Right.
And I literally walk every day of not knowing my own strength, but I know it comes from God.
That's right.
I know it comes from him.
That's
and then she has strength for me. My mom has strength for us. Like, we literally are doing this together.
Yeah.
And a couple of years during COVID, I got really sick during COVID. And my lungs collapsed.
Okay.
And so I'm just getting back on track with that.
Right.
And my sister, she just took the wheel and did what she needed to do.
Yes.
My mother came in. Well, my mother never wavered. Her never wavered.
Mothers can be that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
I get on their nerves. Yeah.
my mother does too, but I'm so thankful that she gets on my nerves.
So we just have learned to depend on each other. And I was telling my sister, I think we are closer now than we've ever been.
Absolutely. I bet you
are. Just, you know, growing up, and we're just closer now.
Yeah.
We close the, we open up with each other in the morning.
Yes.
And we close with each other in the evening. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's, I appreciate that so much.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, Donata, do you have any daughters?
I have one daughter.
Okay.
And I took her to the doctor with me one time.
Yes. Yes.
And the doctor explained to her that you may have to go and get mammograms a little earlier just to, mm-hmm. you know, make sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I want you guys to really think about this. I call mm-hmm. you all lovingly Team Mars. Team Mars. I have the three of you relied upon each other to brave the course of this adversity while being an inspiration for other families or friends or individuals who may find themselves in similar situations. So if someone else, and inevitably, I see you all at fun runs. Mm-hmm. I see you all at different benefits, y'all in y'all's pink tutus and, and cute little clothes. Other people who are just getting that diagnosis today, mm-hmm. look at that and they see you all. It looks like you're having a great time and mm-hmm. you're living life. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that what you are presenting to them is inspirational and gives people hope? So that they don't get down on themselves.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Tell y'all what
so my faith has gotten so much stronger.
Yes.
And there's some days where I can, all I can do is just rely on my faith.
Yes.
I have bad days. I have good days.
Yes.
I have healthy distractions. Mm-hmm. Going to work is a healthy distraction mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. I have a coworker right now who just got a biopsy yesterday.
Gotcha.
And I, you know, you can, you know, your coworkers and it's bothering her,
right.
But she did come in this morning and talk to me.
Okay.
And so sharing the story, you know, with mm-hmm. my mother and right. my sister, because it's a trio.
Yes.
Like my sister said earlier, it's a trio. It's a duo with me and my mother, but it's a trio.
Right.
Because she is everyone's emergency contact.
Right.
Guys.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the caretaker of the year.
But yeah, it's trying to, you know, it's talking to my coworkers. And also, did you get a mammogram? Make sure you get
yes,
a mammogram.
Yes.
Did you get a mammogram?
You're that lady.
I am.
Yeah.
The lady
yeah.
I am.
And you know what? It's so funny to me because my sister, she's not like her little sister.
No.
She, you know, I'm a social butterfly. I'm everywhere, anywhere, doing whatever. But the inspiration for me is to see her coming out of her shell and wanting to be an advocate.
Yes.
Wanting to share when someone sending inspirational messages to others. And that just shows you how our prayer every night is for God to use us,
yes.
mm-hmm. Use mm-hmm. our story. Let us be the light in this world, showing his glory, his light. And so when she shares that her coworker
yes.
is coming to her and speak, mm-hmm. I know that that's yes. what we've been praying.
Right, yeah.
And so for us, what we want to do, this is not for us to say that, you know, any type of media, whatever. It's because we really have a unique story and want others to see hope that even in the midst of what's going on in real time,
yes.
we still have hope because we are continuously fighting.
Yes.
You know, we are in the ring, we're fighting. And so that's the hope for us, for
yes.
what we want to be an advocate for. Women going out and getting mammograms, men going
yes,
out and getting
yes,
tested, you know,
yes.
young adults, we, you know, juvenile cancer was in the month of September. So
right.
this is October. So, you know, just all of those different things. And hopefully.
Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So let's just say somebody got a diagnosis mm-hmm. and they see you happy, strong, and fighting, but they're depressed.
Right.
Like they can't pull themselves out of
right.
depression
mm-hmm.
because of this diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. It's a YB type thing. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So they see you and they see you in the pink tutus. They see you at events. They see you spreading awareness. They see that you have a support system. What do you say to those people who don't have maybe a support system like you have, and then they have depression on top of that?
Yeah.
Well, if you kind of know someone that's going through it, they do have a lot of support groups out there.
Yes.
And sometimes it can, it doesn't even take a whole group. It can be one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have, everything don't have to be exposed for exposure. It can be one-on-one. They just need that one person to talk to.
I also think that even if it's one person, or you have to surround yourself with others that have gone through the journey, because some of the depression is the unknown of not knowing the knowledge and not knowing. Just a diagnosis alone can send you into a depression. But once you get with those who have may have the same type of cancer, that may have more than what you have, sometimes you can look at a certain situation and you can ask certain questions that will ease your mind where you can come out of it. And then, listen, I'm an advocate of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right.
I've been in a space of depression. I've been in a space of wanting to die, not commit suicide, but rather be with God than here on earth. And I've seen him pull me out of where I was. And so you definitely have to go to the source who will provide the resources for you in order for you to move beyond that moment. So you have to get around a support system, whatever that support system looks like.
And Mika, let me add, I want to throw this question out to all of you. And then we're gonna acknowledge some of these ladies that are on who are asking questions and who are giving some shout outs. But for those people who say they've always been private people and they don't want to expose themselves, or they don't want people to treat them differently, because that's what you hear a lot of people say sometimes. Mm-hmm. If I tell people, then people will treat me differently. Mm-hmm. How would they overcome those kind of feelings so that they're ready to reach out to try to get some support?
Well, I would say in this fight, this battle, this cancer battle, you have to communicate.
Yeah.
You have to talk to somebody. Whoever that person is. I always say, you know, go to those who have created a safe space for you to be able to openly share.
Right.
My sister can share in one case scenario.
Yeah.
She wanted to be in a support group outside of a support group that her and my mom were in together.
Okay.
So that she can openly express her feelings.
Right.
So that it wouldn't be, I'm openly to make my mom worry about how she was truly feeling.
Right.
And so those are some of the things or some of the ways that you can be able to do that. But you have to communicate, because you will find yourself sinking if you don't communicate.
Deep. Deep. Because even though I was diagnosed April the 13th, when my daughter was diagnosed, August, that tore me up.
Yes, it's got to. As a mom, it hits you differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but I just feel like if I got to go through this, God knew I needed this partner, and partner needed me.
Yes.
So if you got to go through it, be there for each other.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to talk. You cannot, because you might go crazy if you just sit around and be quiet, because the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes.
And it will do and say a lot of things to you.
Yes.
And the mindset is because at first I was letting it beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I realized, nope, I'm going to take power and take control of it. It was a mind thing where it was just, okay, I have cancer. I mean, everyone, if you've been told you have cancer, you're never going to forget that moment. Wow. And it was just one of those things where I had to, say, you know what? I'm just going to beat it. I'm just going to not let it get me down every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would have to do minute for minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just not going to beat me. I'm going to fight it.
Right.
And that's a mindset also.
So proud of you, darling. Yes. And the thing about it is, for you to be so transparent and opening up right now, basically you're saying, you know, for somebody who's just getting that diagnosis, I wasn't always strong.
No,
like this.
Right. No.
Right.
It was a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It was a walk to get to where you all are right now.
And still. Like, you know,
we still have our moments.
Yeah. Some moments I have to, you know, when my sister's going through it in the morning, I don't have time to to sit on the sidelines and just watch things just occur. Right. Like, I have to jump in and say, nope, we're not doing this this morning. Yeah. Nope, we're not doing this tonight.
And you will realize the strength that you have.
Yeah.
Because I have realized that I'm stronger than what I thought I was.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Donata and Ms. Faye, I want to ask you this, and I want you all to, you know, really consider what I'm asking you. And because I believe it's going to help a lot of people to hear your answers. Was there, and you all can answer in any order that you want, was there a time that you actually were scared?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course. But it's faith.
Yeah.
I'm so into the word.
Yeah.
And I can't give up my faith. I have to keep faith that whatever is going on in my life, whatever's going on,
right,
God got it.
Yes.
So no, it's all about faith. You can't, once you know, and don't waver. Yes, we have those times when
it could be scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even thinking about the future, because because I only had one one breast removed.
Right, right.
So I'm worried about the other one.
Exactly. And that's normal.
And a lot of these doctors, they don't do that double if you don't need it. They say they don't like
that's
to
elective.
Remove
yeah.
Good tissue. So they don't want to do it.
Right.
So I worry about that.
Yeah.
And I'm on medication for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? If that happened, God got that too. I'm not gonna wallow in pity and what if? Because what ifs will run you crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am just so faithful. I'm believing in my faith that if something does, God gonna fix that too.
That's right.
He never told us that we wasn't gonna have trials and tribulations.
That's right.
This was my time.
That's
right. And most of the time in the beginning, I had to rely on my sister and my mama's faith.
Okay.
Because I was in a bad space.
Okay.
So I would call my sister.
That's honest.
Yeah. And I relied on her faith and trusted what she said and trusted her faith that I would be carried through.
Right.
And my mother at the same time. You know what I mean? So I've had some bad days, but lately, and I think that they did say that it's like five stages to, you know, grief acceptance. And bargaining, acceptance. So I seem to be in a more peaceful place now. And I do believe that it's going to get better.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the acceptance is, but the unknown is just, it's very hard on your mind.
Yeah.
Were you ever afraid?
You know, Crystal, I'll be honest with you. I have, after I have gone through, you know, when you've gone through some things yourself that has brought you to a place and you've gotten beyond that moment, you start thinking of other things that take place and you just look at it from a different lens.
Yeah.
And so my faith haven't wavered. Like, I'll tell you, when Mom told me, I was upset. But once I got that cry out and we prayed, it was like, okay. When my sister, I struggle with God. I struggled.
Yeah.
And I struggled with him because I just couldn't understand why it would happen so soon after we had just released so much pressure.
Right.
But then I said, I would rather us go ahead and do what we need to do. I thank God that it was an early stage.
Yes.
I thank God and looked at the blessing of so many other things, and the same God that did it for my mom could do it for my sister.
That's right.
And so if you be in the doctors, if you have been in the doctor's office with us, we are scheduling appointments around who has what week.
Yes.
Like, what time is your appointment? Okay, we're talking to the surgeons. Okay, my sister's surgery is scheduled on this date.
Right.
When can we have this done? When can't? Just so that all of us are there for each other in this health journey.
Yes.
I have to have surgery in November. So, okay, we got to make sure that she has her surgery and she good. Mm-hmm. So they all be good for me. So these are the things that we have. And I don't want people to not understand or to think that we are taking this lightly, because we're not taking it lightly.
Right.
We are just choosing a different approach.
That's right.
And going through the journey. And
it's
because,
a choice,
yes,
like you said. Yes.
And because we want to be advocates
That's
for
right.
and be support and be the light for other people that yes. be the encouraging, the encouragement. That's why we are here with yes. you, because we want to make sure that if, and it doesn't even have to be cancer,
right.
it could just be something that mm-hmm. you're mentally mm-hmm. struggling with,
that's right.
another health condition or whatever, but we do want to be somebody's hope that's that they right. can get through those moments.
That's right.
And you know,
it's
that's
okay.
okay. You can interrupt me.
Okay.
Let me
think about it.
Let me ask you guys this. If you could write a 3-statement summary of your vision for Houston in terms mm-hmm. of taking control for Houston women in terms of taking control of their breast health, mm-hmm. what would those 3 key components be?
I can't really think of 3.
Yeah.
But I think that they need to change this thing, this idea that you have to wait until you're 40 to yes. get a mammogram. Number one.
Yes.
These insurance companies, somebody has got to start pushing this.
That's right.
Being an advocate for this.
Yes.
So that the insurance companies will help us get right. those mammograms sooner.
That's right.
That's the first thing.
That's right.
First thing, get the mammogram soon. Pay for the mammogram. You know what? Yeah. Can you imagine how much money they may save if they let you mm-hmm. get your mammogram early instead of you waiting and all that time, and then you your stage is staged
right.
blank, blank, blank.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, so if they would move that age limit back.
Yes.
Because cancer not just falling from the sky.
Right.
That's right.
It's something causing it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So they need to move that age yeah. back so yeah. that the younger ladies or women can get tested. That's mm-hmm. the first thing.
I would say I am on a campaign journey between now and February 1st of being an advocate for health care insurance.
Yes.
I am a ambassador for Simple Choice Insurance, who has definitely helped my family in more ways than one.
Yes, with
making sure that you have health care. There are so many resources that women don't know about
right.
that are available when it comes to insurance, when it comes to cancer insurance. So I'm on a campaign to 250 women.
Yes.
By February 1st. One of the things that I have asked doctors as well is, just because you have a genetic testing doesn't mean to me, if my mom took a genetic test and it said that she did have some type of, it could be hereditary,
right.
I would be able to get my mammogram sooner than a year.
Right.
So
right.
I would change that law to 6 months, every 6 months
yeah.
for us to get a mammogram and get yes. tested. I think.
And see, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just thinking, because my dad was an insurance agent for like 29 years. So mm-hmm. I learned a lot about insurance, yeah. whether I wanted to know about it or not. So, but one of the things are a lot of these insurance companies, and I'm so glad that Mika is yet another ambassador for something, because girl, you an ambassador for so much. But a lot of these insurance companies, of course, put profit over people.
Mm. Yes.
So when you get tested early, this is how the insurance companies think. You get tested early, you get detected early. That's more money coming out of our pockets to cover you. So the least that we can do, or the least that we can, so we won't have to keep paying out all of this money, is to tell you, okay, well, it's too early for that. It's and that's how the insurance companies think. You know, it's always profit over people, because the insurance companies, let's just be real, they in the business to make money. That's they don't care nothing about your personal health.
That's right.
So they are strictly in the business of making money.
And like Ms. Morris just said, if they're able to arrest something early, that's
right.
thousands of dollars, sometimes right. millions of dollars down the road if you can arrest it early.
Yeah. So let's even talk about, you know, there is cancer insurance.
That's
there
right.
is cancer that's insurance right. that's a separate entity from your health insurance that people don't even know about. A lot
and
of people don't
that,
know about
I
it.
I took that out on, yeah. my, on my job.
And when yeah. you do the cancer insurance, like my mom had cancer insurance, not even knowing 3 years prior to her being diagnosed, she yeah. was already paying cancer insurance.
Wow.
Yes. And so it just makes a difference to be as a preventative measure to be able
absolutely.
To help you. So
right, exactly.
dealing with your health condition, But then you have to deal with the finances to be able to make sure, or the proper doctors to be able to assist you in it. So all of these are entities of worry. Right. That can send you into depression. That can, you know, how am I going to pay for it? That's I have the right doctor?
That's right.
Who's going to be my oncologist? You know, there was a lady that we interviewed a couple of weeks ago who she had over $24,000 of treatment. Wow. And she was dropped by Medicare.
Wow.
So she couldn't even have treatment in the month of September. So it was, it's these type of things that we have to have in place. Right. And so if you ask me, those were some of the things that I would do. I would first discuss healthcare, insurance, cancer insurance, and then see how we can change a law to get mammograms not once a year, but at least every 6 months.
And and cancer insurance is, it's not that expensive.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Are you sure you want that? You know, I waste that's that money on something else, throwing it in the street.
That's
no, we're gonna just go on and do this.
And I'm gonna piggyback what my mom and my sister said. I feel the same way about the preventative measures.
Yes.
Getting the genetic testing.
Right.
Because I mean, honestly, most Black women do have dense breasts, so we can get past that.
Yeah.
And get, you know, deeper genetic testing. And if you need to be, if you need to get a mammogram every 6 months or whatever, then make the insurance companies pay for it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, get the mammogram. There's lots of places that, like you said, has a sliding scale.
Right.
You just have to ask, you know, asking. They would prefer for you to get a mammogram, quite frankly.
And ladies, we have that hour went fast.
It did.
It went fast. But I do want to acknowledge some of the comments on here. We have got so many ladies who are tuning in, and let me start at the top. Thank you, Miss Janet Williams. She's one of my church members. She says, ladies, once you've experienced breast cancer, ask your PCP to order follow-up ultrasounds every 2 years. It's not done without the order. I learned the hard way.
Okay.
Follow-up ultrasounds. Miss Rena says, you Lord. Amen. That's right. LaQuincia Doyle says, this is great information and advice. Listening to a podcast. Yes. Miss Janet says, a lot of people fear the unknown.
Yeah.
And they do. They do.
Absolutely.
Yes. And the ladies here in these comments, you have it. There's so much hope. And people are listening and people are sharing the information and they are being advocates for themselves. And if one lady can tell five other ladies about the importance of this, I think we would be in a much different place. But Mika Diamond.
Also.
Yes.
Men need to go and
get
I have a friend, one of my coworkers. He happened to be going to the hospital to have a procedure for something else. And the doctor just came and told him, did anybody tell you had breast cancer?
Oh, my goodness.
That's how he found out he had breast cancer from.
Oh, my goodness.
Getting prepared for another surgery.
Wow.
That's something.
Men.
And that was a horrible way to tell it.
It is a horrible way to tell it.
Don't be inside, Mena.
Right. But that's, and he explained it to me. He said, Faye, I never knew.
Yeah.
But I was having surgery for one thing, and the doctor came in and said, anybody ever tell?
My Lord.
Men, they need to go and get tested too.
Mika.
It doesn't discriminate.
Ms. Donato?
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Faye, I got it right that time. And Mika.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, throughout the month of October, I know that you have a lot of things going on. Can you tell us really, really fast about some of the other initiatives that are coming up that you're doing? That people may want to connect with you.
Absolutely.
And how to connect with you.
Yes, ma'am. So tonight we're going to be on the Isaiah Factor at 10:30. So you guys tune in on the Isaiah Factor. 26.
Okay.
And then on this Sunday, Seeds of Gratitude, the World Youth Foundation, everybody knows I'm a part of the World Youth Foundation. We are going to be at the Wortham Center on Sunday. Also, next Saturday, I'm doing a breast cancer walk that's taking place at Blue Ridge Park in Missouri City. So I will put the information in the chat once the show is over.
Yeah.
And then so much, you know, I have Mika Day That's November the 11th. We are taking donations for that. We have a church that we're donating. We're doing it a little different this year. We're not having the big parade because we have my family needs me first this year.
That's right.
So we are going to do contributions. So anybody who wants to donate monies or items for that cause, we'll be doing that November the 11th.
And all of these flyers, you're going to send them to us so that we can share them.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
But other than that, I thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Thank you.
My sister has a what's the band name of your school?
Oh, yes. The Ocean of Gold.
Ocean of Gold.
John E. Caldwell Marching Band.
You have there's a marching band at an elementary school?
Yes, ma'am. We have majorettes. Awesome. We have
drum majors.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of sight. Oh, and I just want to say her principal is also a graduate of Prairie View A&M University. I just want to put that out there. He's a graduate. Hey, John.
Well, ladies, I know there is we could go all day. We don't want to do that. But I want to thank you all so much for taking the time to come in. Because to be able to get all three of you together and for people to see how you all are supporting each other, this is how families should lift each other up. Mm-hmm. And if you are going through something or if you have a similar situation in your family, look at Mika and her mom and her sister. You can do it with each other's help, with each other's prayer, with each other's assistance and encouragement. You can walk through any journey that is put before you.
Yes.
And with God, with the Lord on your side. There's nothing that's insurmountable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Mika Diamond, Miss Faye Morris, Miss Donata Foreman. I got them all right. I'm good because I'm not the greatest with names, but I got those right.
But she is not.
You know I'm not. And Miss Rebecca Williams.
Hi.
Thank you guys so much for coming in. You guys have been delightful. Everything about breast cancer and the journey that you walk through, you can make it as uplifting as you need to. And you can see this from just what we've experienced tonight. So reach out to someone. Don't walk the journey by yourself. Mm-hmm. There's someone for you to reach out to. And Mika's going to share all of the support information and some of the ways that you can connect in the chat. And we'll make sure we get that posted. And we'll get her events posted too. So if you want to connect that way.
Yes, ma'am.
But ladies, thank you so much. And Rebecca, Mika, Miss Faye, Miss Donata, as we always say,
we can do it.